What's going on? Wasn't it just awesome to get to come together and worship this morning? I don't know about you, but I just felt so blessed, not just to get to sing out the powerful words of those songs, but to get to do it with you, to be led with from a team of both young and old, leading out of conviction and passion. So just thank you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. I really appreciate it. So this morning, we get to continue the series on the one another's, and as Fred has pointed us to, that we are going to dive into the question of speaking the truth to one another, or more specifically, do not lie to one another. Look at we got kind of two verses we're going to be looking at. First one is Ephesians. It says this, Ephesians 4:25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speak the truth to each other. And not only just speak the truth, but put away falsehood. Quit lying to each other. Quit manipulating each other. Quit trying to make up these stories to pick up yourself, to bolster yourself, and instead speak the truth because we're connected to each other. A very similar thing gets said in the book of Colossians. It says, do not lie to one another. And sorry, this is Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. When was the first time you met somebody who was a liar? Anybody have a memory of that? I remember I was in like elementary school and this new kid started. I don't even remember his name. I don't remember much about him. But I remember he started at our school and he was so cool. Like he's like, yeah, I'm a seventh degree black belt. And we're in like third grade. So I don't even know what that means, but we're like, no way. He's like, yeah, in karate and ninjutsu. We're like, no way. And he's like, yeah, and I'm on a semi-pro hockey team up in Portland, and I play ice hockey, which there was no ice skating rinks around where we live, so this kid was super cool. We're like, no way. So I had to have this kid over to my house because I wanted to be friends with this kid because he was so interesting and so unique. And so I remember he came over to my house, and we were skating around the neighborhood, and we were just talking and having a good time, and we went to this house. I don't remember what we were doing. We were probably up to no good. I'm not sure. I'm not lying. I really don't remember what we were doing there. And we went to this house, and I was messing around on one side of the house, and he was on the other side. And all of a sudden, he comes running around the corner, or skating around the corner, and he's like, come on, let's go, let's go. So we take off, and we sprint about halfway down the block, and then we stop, and he was like, dude, that was crazy. I was doing something, and the guy came out of his front porch with a shotgun, and he threatened to kill me. And I was like, no, that's awful. So we go home, and immediately I tell my parents, I was like, this guy tried to kill my friend with a shotgun. Can you believe this? And my dad was really calm about it. I couldn't believe it. He was like, well, let's go figure out what's going on. Wow, this is a weird reaction, Dad, a shotgun. And so we drive, and my dad's like, point to the house where the guy has the shotgun. So we're driving, and my friend's like, that's the house. My dad's like, are you sure that's the house? That house right there? Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. There's no way you could be confused about it. No, definitely. So my dad goes, wait in the car, kid. So I'm going to go in and see what's going on. We're like, he's got a shotgun. What are you doing? And he goes, and he knocks on the door, and this really old lady comes out. And we can't hear what's going on, but her and my dad are having this conversation, and my dad just kind of calmly gets back and gets in the car, and we're like, what happened? He's like, we'll talk about it later. We go home, and he calls my friend's dad, and my friend's dad comes and picks him up. My dad, he takes me, he sits me down. He goes, Nate, we need to talk. Okay. And he imparted some really important wisdom to me. Because you need to understand something, Nate. Some people are liars. And that was his wisdom. And how many have ever met a liar? All right, we all have. We can all think of that person that everything out of their mouth is just a complete fabrication. You're like, do you even understand reality? How could you possibly believe this or say this? Or what's wrong with you? Are you messed up? Right, have you ever thought that? Don't point, please. Okay, I'm going to assume that none of you in here are that person. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Yet, could we all admit that we all struggle with manipulating truth at times? That in the right situation, at the right time, every one of us struggles with this. We want to tell things in such a way that makes us look good. We want to make excuses in such a way that gets us out of trouble, that doesn't cause negative consequences to ourselves and our family. We want to present ourselves in just this way. And we are liars. And I think this passage, it drives to this point that is so easy. It's something we've been learning since we were 3 years old. When you're 3 years old, your parents, I tell you, don't lie, right? Tell the truth. Don't lie to me. And yet, here some of us are much older than 3 years old, and we still are wrestling with this. We still are working on how do I tell the truth? How do I be honest? How do I not lie? Now, I want to kind of, before we jump fully into this, I want to talk a little bit about some of the excuses we make, right? Anytime we talk about lying, there's always this sort of ethical argument that comes up. Goes, well, what if you're lying to save somebody's life or for the greater good, okay? So imagine you're in Nazi Germany and you're hiding folks up in your attic and the Nazis come and they knock on your door and they say, do you have people here? And what are you going to do? You're going to lie. And so we kind of use that, and there's a whole conversation we could have. We could spend the rest of the service talking about ethics around lying, but I just want to clear your conscience here a little bit. Okay, this is me giving you permission for whatever worth that has in your life. If you are hiding people from Nazis, I give you permission to lie, okay? We can all take a sigh of relief. That's okay. We'll just give permission to lying in that situation. But most of us are not hiding people from Nazis. And most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, even when we justify our half-truths or our lies or our manipulations, our intentions are less than noble. At the core, they end up becoming selfish. And so let's take a look at the passages that we're reading today at face value. What if they actually said what they said in most, if not all, of the situations in our lives? Do not lie to one another. Put off falsehood. So if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 9. We're kind of jumping a little bit into this conversation. Paul, who's writing this book, is given this sort of list of things that we as Christians don't need anymore, that we can take off, that we can put away. So all this sexual immorality, this anger and wrath and hurting of each other, none of that we need anymore. And at the end of that list, he gets to this part at verse 9. So that's where we're going to jump in. So Colossians 3, verse 9. Says this, do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with his practices and have put on the new self. So he says, okay, take off that old part of you, those lies that you tell each other. Take those off. And here's what you should embrace instead of those lies, instead of those manipulations, instead of all those sins that used to define you, having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. He goes on, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And in the ESV, it's a little bit hard to see the distinction here, but those first three, those are the categories of who we are. It says, you are chosen, holy, and beloved. Therefore, what we are to be doing is putting on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. You must also forgive. These are powerful words, aren't they? If we just like left here and did what this says, man, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that transform the way we interacted with each other? So let's think about this a little bit. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. I was really struggling this week because I recognize that I lie, that I manipulate, but I have a really hard time of actually like pointing to that in my own life, actually seeing that, because so often I feel like this is one of those sins that is so subtle, that is so just kind of ingrained, that I've justified it so much that I don't even recognize that I'm doing it. It's very seldom that I fabricate some sort of story, right? I don't think I do that a lot. I don't just make up stuff that's not true. What I'm more inclined to do is just sort of tweak things a little bit, just sort of tell things in the way that makes it look good for me. And I would imagine you guys are the same. So I got a little test here, a little way that you can kind of see maybe if some of your words aren't always the most truthful, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and say a phrase, and I want you to try to remember back to the last time you said this phrase and to think how honestly you said this phrase, okay? Maybe it's this phrase. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm almost there. Okay? Have we ever said that? Maybe it wasn't totally traffic's fault. Maybe it was that we left 15 minutes late, but it's easier just to blame traffic because, hey, we live in the Bay Area. It's always traffic's fault. Okay? Sorry, my phone is acting a little weird. I didn't get your message. Okay? Kids, have you ever said that to your parents? Sorry, Mom. I was going to text you back, but my phone just didn't work. Okay? Sorry, I already have plans. Let's think about this for a second. The last time you said that, did you actually have plans, or were you planning on making plans so you didn't have to do what somebody was asking you to do? Okay. No, I'm fine. Okay. When you're not, and you just don't want to talk about it. Or maybe it's like, hey, Nate, great sermon. Wait, don't answer that. That's awkward. Okay. Oh, man, it hurts. Please don't tell me that one afterwards. Just sometimes wisdom is not hurting people. Okay, kind of one by one, these aren't really that big of a deal, right? We can kind of look at these, go, oh, no big deal. When you start adding them up, and this becomes the way we interact with each other, the way we connect with each other. You can see why Paul in Ephesians said, hey, put away falsehood, speak the truth to one another, because we are members of one body, and if we run around lying and deceiving and manipulating each other, even in small ways, how can we be one body? How can we connect? How can we do the one another's in the way God has called us to do them? In fact, I think if we don't get this one right, so much of the one another's that we've been talking about don't really work, do they? Can I truly love one another if I'm not honest with one another? Like, are you going to believe that I love you if I am manipulating in my conversations with you? Can we forgive one another if there's not trust built into that? Fred talked last week about honoring one another and how important it is for us to honor one another. And how can we honor one another if you don't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth are true and are authentic and are real? If I'm just saying stuff to make you feel better, is that honoring one another? In fact, as I was kind of looking at this, just so convinced that the very fabric of what it means for us to be a church and us to interact with each other demands that we speak the truth to each other. So this morning, let's be honest, or let's honestly be honest. Here's what I mean by that. Let's not just say, okay, yeah, we got to speak truth, can't lie. But let's get honest with ourselves, and let's look at what are the ways that I am less than honest? What are the ways that I am less than truthful? What are the ways that I say things that may not be or may not be exactly the way I'm saying them to be? And how can I dig into sort of that brokenness in my life and quit trying to just manipulate things to say things the way I want them to be said, instead to say things the way they truly are? I get Google News, you know, I read that in the mornings, and Google like compiles all the different news articles. And I'm always shocked that by the headline of the news article, I can pretty much tell what news source wrote that article. You ever notice that? Like, you know, Trump did a great job. That's Fox News. Trump's the worst man on the planet. That's MSNBC, right? You just kind of, you figure out these things, and it's pretty clear. And not only are the news articles, like, different in their perception of the facts, I've noticed that oftentimes the facts are actually different depending on what source we go to. And I was kind of thinking, like, this week about this and how we just kind of manipulate each other with facts. And I was listening to this podcast about, like, Reconstruction after the Civil War. And I was just shocked to see that 150 years ago, the exact same thing was happening, right? Different news sources were manipulating facts to prove their own point. And I'd be willing to bet that 2,000 years ago, that same thing was happening, and even before that. And I think that that is just such a part of our human nature. It's part of that old self, that former life, that we feel inadequate, we feel insignificant, we feel like the world is out to get us. So instead, we try to work out things to prove our point, to validate ourselves. And we need to be honest about that. We need to see our brokenness and see our need for being truthful. To see our need for speaking honestly, even when it's hard. I think dishonesty, it protects us in some way. It builds us up. You know, we can kind of, allows us to separate ourselves from others. So I want to kind of ask this question this morning. Why do we lie to each other? There's a lot of reasons for that, isn't there? Like, we lie sometimes because maybe we don't want to experience the consequence. That's usually why little kids lie. Okay, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. Liar, you know? But we continue that pattern as we get older. Sometimes we lie just because we want to present an image of ourselves to somebody. We want to seem more competent maybe than we actually are. We want to seem more capable. Sometimes I think we lie because of embarrassment. We lie because we think we're benefiting other people. We lie for all sorts of different reasons. But I think in this passage, it points to some deep underlying motives for why we lie. And the first one is I don't think we fully understand our value. Look at what it says in verse 12. And I kind of highlighted that a bit when we were reading it together. But verse 12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. There we go. What a great reminder this is. Okay, that you are God's chosen ones, meaning God, the creator of the universe, the God who is over all, who is the creator of all, who understands all. He looked at you, he looked at me, and he chose us to be his child. That he defined us as holy. He said, you are set aside for a specific purpose that I have called you to, and you are beloved. Therefore, live according to the plan that I have for you. If we were to actually believe that about ourselves, would we need to lie and manipulate to make ourselves feel chosen by other people, to feel loved by other people, to feel like we have value and purpose? I think it would change the way we view those things. I think it would give us the freedom to be honest and to be real and to have a value of ourself that is based on real stuff. Now, I know that some of us in here really struggle with just poor self-value, and that's something that we struggle with. But I think even those of us who have a pretty healthy value of ourself, oftentimes we put our value in all the wrong things. It's our value is in what we can accomplish at work, how good we are at our job, or maybe how good of a parent we are, or how we're perceived by others, or what we can do or feel or experience, or all these different things define our value. And what I'm seeing here in this passage is this reminder that those might bring value to you, but how insignificant are those compared to God, the creator of the universe, choosing us, calling us holy, and loving us? I was thinking of like an illustration for this, and this might be a terrible illustration. You can pretend you don't remember it after this, but okay. Imagine this. Imagine there's this man who considers himself incredibly poor, that he feels like he has nothing to trade or to get even just a bite of food, and he's so hungry. But in this man's house is a room stacked this high, like a big block of $100 bills. But he has no idea what they are, no idea what the value of it is. And so every day he walks down the street so hungry and just not sure how he's going to get his next meal. And so he walks by a little, it's like olden days, okay? He walks by a little place where they got live chickens that you can buy. You can take home and eat them, okay? And he walks by this little chicken stand, and he sees these chickens. And he goes, oh, I'd so love to eat one of those chickens, but I have nothing to offer to get one of these chickens. And he notices at the bottom of the chicken cages is a bunch of shredded up paper. So that way you can clean the chicken cages quickly, right? You just throw away the paper and start over. And he goes, oh, I've got an idea. I've got a ton of paper. I can go home and I can cut up all my paper. And maybe if I bring down the paper, I can trade my paper for a chicken. So the guy goes home and he gets his scissors out and spends hours cutting up all those bills into tiny little scraps. And he fills up all these garbage bags filled with paper. And he takes it down to the shop owner and says, hey, I will trade you these scraps of paper for one of your chickens. Okay, it's stupid. The best I could come up with. But it's crazy, right? It's a completely ridiculous little fable. But I think in some ways that is what we do. If I miss a deadline and I manipulate the truth to make myself look better so it doesn't look like I let people down in the office, so that people in my office will look at me and they will say, wow, Nate, you're responsible. I'm glad I'm on a team with you. Isn't that kind of like shredding up $100 bills? Isn't that like saying, okay, God, I know you say you love me and you've chosen me and you care about me, but I just need this little bit of love and support from somebody else right now. I just need somebody else to choose me because you choosing me isn't enough. And I think when we do that, we miss the very point that God is saying to us, that God has chosen us, that he's loved us, and we substitute it for stuff that just really doesn't mean a whole lot. Last week, I was doing something, and I met this woman, and she was telling me about her life, and she was working in kind of a service job, but not a very high-paying or luxurious job. And while we're talking, she starts telling me these stories about how she grew up and how she had so much money back in Mexico. And when her uncle dies, she's going to inherit this big estate and she's this heiress. And I don't know how true her statements were. I kind of think that they were a bit of a stretch. I have a hard time believing that some multi-billionaire heiress is making 40 grand a year doing manual labor. But I was just thinking of like this passage and how sad it is that this woman needed the support of a stranger. She needed my appreciation, my value, whatever small and insignificant that was, that me saying, oh, wow, that's really cool, you're really interesting, had value to her. When God, the creator of the universe, is calling her into relationship with him and saying, you have value to me. I love you. I care about you. I designed you. I know everything about you, and I still chose you. I know about all your flaws. I know about how weak you are. I know about how poor you are. I know about how much you struggle. I know how about insecure you are, and I'm still calling you my own. And what if we allowed that truth to saturate our soul? I think we would be more honest people. I think we could live more authentic and true lives. We wouldn't have to put on a mask to protect ourselves. We wouldn't have to find these defense mechanisms to make ourselves feel better because we would know that what has true value has given us value, and that's God. There's another reason I think this passage points to, or both of these passages actually, why we lie to each other. And it's not just that we don't value ourselves, it's that we don't properly value each other. We don't value one another well. Okay, and the Ephesians passage says, hey, don't put off falsehood, don't lie to each other, speak the truth to one another. Why? Because we are members of one another. We are of a family. We are connected to one another. Don't you see that when you are lying to each other, you are lying to yourself? Is kind of the point that I think the Ephesians passage is making. And the Colossians passage makes a similar argument. He says, okay, I want you to take off the old self, and I want you to put on this new self, which is being renewed in the image of your Creator. And when you do that, you will realize there's no Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, no circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. All of these categories that you've used to use to divide yourselves, to separate yourselves, to say they're those people and I'm this person and you're other and I'm together, you will realize that Christ is all and in all. Meaning when you lie to each other, you are lying to Christ, because in Christ we are united as one. And so part of our value is not what you offer me. It's not the service that you offer me or how you make me feel or what you can do for me or how you might be able to get me in trouble or get me out of trouble. The value you offer to me is that we are one in Christ, that we are united. And when we lie to each other, we are building distrust and disunity within the body that Christ himself has created. Now think of it this way. If Jesus was to stand here today, okay, there's kind of a transfiguration, lots of bright lights and stuff. He was to pop here. How many would want to tell a bold-faced lie to Jesus? I don't think so, right? He's all-knowing. He's kind of the creator. I think we would probably in the moment go, that's not a good idea. How many would want to try to put on and try to pretend like we're something we're not in front of him? Probably not. But the point here is, if Christ is all and in all, then when I lie to somebody, no matter how different than me they might seem, I'm lying to Jesus himself. I'm not valuing that person with the value that Christ has given them. I'm not valuing the relationship that he has woven in between us. Instead of building unity, I'm building walls. When we lived in San Jose, we bought the house, and in the back of the house, there was like an alley behind it, and there was this massive 10-foot fence made out of like 2x4s just lined up next to each other. And in the top of the fence, they had actually drove like these big 4-inch nails kind of up at an angle, you know, to keep people from coming over the back fence into our backyard. Does that make sense? And why was that fence there? It wasn't obviously to keep friends and family from coming in the house, because they come in the front door. It was to keep the other people out from coming in over the back fence while we're sleeping. And there's value in some neighborhoods to have fences and all that. But when we build those fences in our lives, and we think there are some people that are other than us, and so we have to keep distance from them, and we tell lies, it separates us. And I think even the small lies we tell, even the things that seem rather insignificant, is kind of like us driving nails between us and the relationships. It's keeping people away. I was talking with some of my friends. I do kind of a Bible study thing on Thursdays, and we were talking about this subject. And one of the guys, he brought up, talking about lying, he's like, yeah, well, okay, there's an excuse for lying. Say, you know, you're getting ready for church, and your wife takes 2 hours to get dressed, and she comes out, and she goes, how do I look? You're going to lie to her. I was like, oh, man, your poor wife. I was thinking about that. Like, there's this excuse that we make that sometimes we have to lie to each other. And I was even thinking about that even those white lies we tell to each other, what is that actually saying to the people we're lying to? Well, I was thinking, this guy, what that's actually saying to your spouse, if you tell your spouse, oh, you look great, what you're saying is, I don't think you're emotionally capable to have a real conversation here about this. On the other side, it also speaks to how well do you love your spouse is after 2 hours of her getting dressed, you can't think of nothing nice to say about her? That might be problematic too. But I think sometimes we say that. We go, okay, I have to lie to somebody else because they couldn't handle this. Or it just, you know, it just makes them feel better. And I think even those lies, when we start to build those up between us, it builds those walls. It's driving those nails in between us. On the same token, being wise means sometimes we don't say everything that comes to the top of our mind. I've been working on that for a long time. That's my default. And that's not wise. That's not godly just to speak whatever you're thinking. And also loving one another means that we genuinely care about each other and we can say things out of truth because we genuinely love them and we're thinking the best for them. But I do think when we lie to each other, it devalues each other, even if we think we're lying to somebody in a way to value them. As I was kind of digging through this and looking at all the different places in Scripture that it talks about truth and the importance of speaking truth, just reminded of how important truth is to our walk, to our faith, to our relationship with each other. That's one of the notes that we have here, is that remember that truth matters. Like, the fact that we're speaking truth to each other, it's really important because the very foundation of our faith is built on truth. It is true that Jesus came, the Son of God came to earth. It is true that he lived a perfect life. It is true that he died on the cross as a sacrifice for my sins. It is true that he rose from the grave. It is true that if I confess him as my Lord and Savior, I get to spend eternal life with him. These are truths that our church, that our faith is founded on. And our community, our world, our neighbors need to hear this truth. People are longing for this truth. And we don't want to confuse that truth with our own lies and manipulations. Right? We live in an area where we know that most of our neighbors don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they need to hear this truth of who Jesus is, but they need to hear it from a source that is truthful. If we are out lying and manipulating in the workplace, and then we turn around and say, oh, by the way, I've got some truth about who Jesus is, but we're not a trustworthy source, are our friends going to be able to hear that and process that as the Word of God? Are they just going to see it as me manipulating some narrative to make myself feel good about my future? That's what a lot of our neighbors think, isn't it? They think Christianity is just our way of kind of manipulating truth so that we feel good about our future. It's not it. But I think if we go around not being truthful people, that's all people are going to be able to see. They're going to miss the very truth of who God is and what he has done for us. Another truth that I see in this passage that's really important is, what truth is it that matters most? And what does it say here? He says, okay, I want you to put away lies, take off that old self, and instead I want you to put on this new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after its creator. I want you to understand who God is and who he's created you to be and what he has done for you. That is the truth that matters. That is the truth that is going to change your life. And that is the truth that should matter most to us. So the kind of the way we've worded this in your notes is that God's truth is greater than your truth. There's a focus, I don't know if you guys have heard this right now, that runs around that you need to speak your truth, if you kind of heard that vocabulary out there. And I think there's a lot of value to that, the point being that you need to be authentic and say what you believe and not hide things. But what can happen is when we say that, okay, you got to speak your truth, it can almost put on this idea that everybody has their own version of what is true, and what is most important is not speaking what is actually true, just saying what you believe to be true. And what I see in Scripture is that there is truth out there, and it is truth that comes from God, and our life adventure of following Jesus together is us as a church seeking that truth. It is coming around that saying, who is God, and who has he created me to be, and how am I supposed to live out in this world? That is our goal. That is our calling as Christians. That's what it means for us to be renewed in the knowledge of our Creator. And check out what that does. If that becomes my focus, then how I perceive the world is not what's most important. And if you perceive the world different than how I perceive the world, we can work through that, because the truth that matters to us is not our own culture, is not our own understandings, is not our own ideas. It's the truth of what Scripture says of who God is, and we come together to pursue that. That's why it can say, hey, in Christ, there's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, barbarian, Scythian. It's not that those folks, all these different categories of people, don't have different perspectives of the world, don't see things different, don't have different values, don't even have different ethics within their own cultures. It's saying that when we gather together under the understanding of who God is and we make that our pursuit, then we realize that Christ is all and in all. How powerful is that? How challenging would that be if I let that be the truth that mattered to me? And I sought to focus my life around that and not around making things work the way I want them to work. The last kind of point here in our notes, this is kind of the takeaway, is I think we need to learn this language of truth. Any of you ever learned a second language in here? Some of us, quite a few of us. Yeah, if you learn a second language, you realize that you can't just like learn vocab and grammar. You actually have to kind of understand the worldview of that language sometimes to actually understand the language. So I'm thinking especially I've been learning Spanish, and in Spanish there's a little bit of a difference, like how you formally address somebody and how you'd informally address somebody. I know a lot of languages do that. That's not something we have in English, so it's really hard for me to just naturally do that. I have to think about that. I have to put myself into that mindset so that I think about kind of where I would formally and informally address different people. In the same way, I think our natural language, the language that we were kind of born into in our sin language, is deceit and lies and non-truth. And I think the art of learning how to speak truth, to be honest, to be open, to be authentic with who we are, is a language that we have to learn. It's something that doesn't come natural. We don't have a ton of examples in our world of this. And so it's something we have to pursue. So the question, I guess, that I'm challenged with myself is, how do I pursue this? How do I grow in my knowledge of my Creator? How do I see the value of who He's given me and learn to be real and authentic with each other, especially those of you here in church with me? So I want to just kind of leave us with that the simplicity of these verses. Let me read them both to you again one more time. And as we just process them and think about, how do I live this out in my life? So Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." And Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his old practices." There's a lot of application here, isn't there? How do we do this? How do we do this in every conversation, in every moment, in every relationship? Let me pray for us, and we'll continue kind of the worship service and processing it together. God, teach us truth. Teach us who you are. Remind us that you have made us perfectly in your image, that you've called us to yourself, that we don't need to manipulate, we don't need to lie, we don't need to tell these stories to value ourselves, because you have given us value, that our value comes from you, that you are the truth worth pursuing. So God, I pray for us as a church that you bring us closer together as a church, that we can live authentic and open and honest lives with each other. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Bridges Community Church Sermon Podcast. Bridges Community Church is located in the San Francisco Bay Area in Fremont, California. To know more about Bridges Community Church, please go to our website at bridgescc.org.